that is the purpose of counting, not just count.
But like in daily life, are we to count when we're walking, or are we to just walk?
In daily life, if you walk as a practice of Zen, you steady walk, step by step, like you come to a breathing.
I see. I've found in the past 3 months at Tassajara that I've uncovered tremendous anger in myself from time to time.
Uh-huh.
With no fixed object, just great force of anger.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me what the root of that is and how to deal with it? About anger?
Maybe. Your confidence is not strong enough. That is why you become angry. You see, you have, I think most people try to solve psychological special conditions by psychology, by knowing why, and by knowing how to treat it, like a mother treat their children. But our way is a little bit different from that. Actually, for instance, I am very impatient. But sometimes I mean, I shall be the most patient person. Why is it? Same person, sometimes become very patient, and sometimes very impatient. When I think I should not be angry, I never angry. That is possible. And that will not create trouble, psychological trouble to me. If you have a kind of wisdom, it will not. I'm not trying to control my anger. But I know, I shouldn't be angry. My wisdom tells me, you shouldn't be angry for 1 year or 2 years. And it may be foolish to be angry. Then I don't be angry. And when you say it is difficult to control, to me it sounds like you want some help, help of psychology or psychiatrist or teacher. But they will not help you. Buddhism will not help you. You must help yourself.
You spoke a minute ago about direct experience of truth through practice. It seems like most of us today don't believe in absolutes, in absolute truths, or in absolute truth. And you said also that like this truth cannot be apprehended through understanding, direct experience. I mean, this is a standard thing we hear now, I think. There are no absolutes. Everything is, must be seen in the context of the time and the place and the situation. And this makes me wonder whether this may be connected to what you said earlier about our seeking meaning. Because if we firmly believe that there are nothing is absolutely true or right or good, then what then what is the meaning of those things? So I'm just sort of thinking this out loud.
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. And that is a point you should make effort. Usually, absolute truth means something you cannot change. That is absolute truth. But we don't think there is such a thing, like you say absolute truth. When I say absolute truth, means, the meaning is quite different. Absolute truth is the truth which reveals itself on various form and color. That much, I think, everyone will understand it.
I don't understand. Because if all I see are the changing forms and colors, always changing, and I can't see the absolute truth that...
Yeah. You cannot see. So still you are seeking for something you can understand. Yeah, that is not the way to understand the absolute we need. So, maybe only way is to know nothing is permanent. Nothing is completely right. We should know this fact completely. And you should not, try to seek for something absolutely right. And you shouldn't try to depend on something. Then, what you will do is, to appreciate things you see or you have now, right now. If so, the thing you have has the absolute mean to you, whether it is beautiful or ugly, it doesn't matter. You don't compare one thing to the other. You see, when you compare something to some other thing, you must have some standard or measurement. That measurement is not completely right, you know. This is just a tentative measurement to help your ego-centered purpose. So, you cannot, in its true sense, you cannot compare one thing to the other. When you ignore the meaning of various meaning of something, you know, you can the things will have comparative value, you know. We can exchange them, you know, for some big property. But actually, we cannot do that. When you limit the value of diamond or property to serve your purpose, now you can exchange it. But originally, diamond is diamond, and piece of land is piece of land. So in this way, you will find out what do we mean by absolute. So when you give up your thinking, and when you without thinking, you hear something, you will hear the true voice of a bird or flowing water. That is what I mean. So we say, everyone is self-supported, you know. Everyone is full, frigid. Everyone is grown up person. We don't want anything from others. Each one of us has his own value and meaning, which you cannot which no one can take your place. That is absolute.
Then you are using absolute or truth in a different way. wouldn't it be better?
Completely different.
Wouldn't it be better not to use that word then?
We have to use it.
Why?
Right?
Why can't we use some other...
To compare to destroy the... to exchange, you know. Make your relative understanding clear. You know, the absolute you use is, to me, it's relative. You know. So, and you stick to the relative absolute, you know. As if you will stick to something real, really absolute. So we have to use it. So actually, I'm giving you some completely new words. If you want to suffer forever, you don't need it. Some other question?
Some ways of practice emphasize the body energies, such as the Buddhism of Tibet and yoga. And they try to awaken these energies in the body and then somehow direct them or control them toward the same end, I feel, that Zen does. However, Zen seems to neglect this, or not to mention this.
Physical what? Neglect what?
This awakening the energies of the body and deliberately controlling those energies in the body toward understanding our true nature, as a means for understanding our true nature. Why is it that Zen simply doesn't mention these things? For example, Buddhism of Tibet talks about the chakras in the body and use of breathing and awakening the energy at the base of the spine and rising it up the spine. And it seems to talk a lot about this and practice it a lot. Why is it that Zen makes no mention of this?
That is also more you can use various way, you know. But in that direction, you cannot find that complete composure. You know, the direction is wrong. The way may be helpful. But if you use those things, those practice, for, you know, another direction, for opposite direction, you will not find that complete composure. You understand? Well, this is nearly the same question. No. We do not say to practice Zazen to attain enlightenment, even to attain enlightenment. No, it's not our way, because the direction is opposite. real. Did you understand? We are aiming at emptiness. You are aiming at somethingness. But both is necessary, of course. But when you aim at somethingness, you should know that. You know, that is in that direction. You know, it may be helpful if you know that. But if you attach to it, you know, if you bound by it, you will have another burden on your shoulder, which you didn't have. So, you know, because almost all of us is practicing our way, facing the other direction, so we always talk about to face this way, this way, this way. But, you know, both is necessary, of course. No more questions, please.
I said before that we should look at our experience absolutely and not relatively, not compare ourselves. We'll compare our experiences or compare ourselves with others. Right. To me, when I see you, I say, oh, Roshi, he's good. I said, oh, I'm not so good. And by saying that to myself, it seems to stimulate my effort. It awakens my way-seeking mind.
Yeah.
Should we... what would you say about that?
Yeah. Right now, I explained that it's two ways of understanding of reality or emptiness or enlightenment. You know, enlightenment is sometimes is goal of practice. And sometimes enlightenment is not goal of practice. It is something which we have already. In this sense, whatever you do, there's some reason, you know. Because there's some reason, we cannot say that is bad. But if the goal of practice to attain some attainment where we have complete freedom from things, you know. For human beings, there must be some way. But for animal or baby, you know, there's no need to follow this kind of steps or way. Do you understand? There's two ways, you know, of when even though we say enlightenment, but the meaning sometimes is original enlightenment, and sometimes it is goal of practice for usual path who stick to something.
Mm-hmm. Are there different paths for different people?
No, no. For original attainment, there's no teacher or no disciple.
There is no goal of enlightenment.
Goal, you know, same. sometimes we talk about, you know, like philosophy or, you know, like a drama. Talk about, like a Lotus Sutra, you know? We talk about enlightenment in various ways. That is the description of original enlightenment, which is, I cannot say nothing to do, but something to do, but not much to do with the attainment for human being. Truth is truth, whether, you know, we reach to the moon or not. Truth is truth. But for human being, there must be some way to go. We enjoy the trip. Whether we enjoy our trip or not. So there's two ways of talking about the moon. That is what I meant. Thank you very much.